Good afternoon, 4:30 and 75 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
The other thing that Brady is doing for us is really giving us exposure with international markets and contacts.
Kentucky's Deputy Commissioner for Business Development, John Bevington, says the CEO of Brady Industries will participate in a trade mission to France next week.
A woman was killed in a traffic mishap in Boyd County last night.
And Moorhead State University gets a grant for nearly $500,000 from the Appalachian Regional Commission.
In sports, the NCAA strips Louisville of its 2013 National Basketball Championship.
But Luke has the stocks.
Showers and thunderstorms possible tonight with lows around 65. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The identity of the woman killed in a one-car accident in Boyd County last night has been released. According to WSAZ, the victim was 46-year-old Christine Rhodes. She was killed in the mishap on Briarwood Drive shortly after 7 o'clock. Boyd deputies say the accident happened in the Cannonsburg area.
An Ashland man who went missing while attending a motorcycle rally has been found dead. Police say 69-year-old Robert Vanderhoof was last seen on June 7th at the Americade rally in upstate New York. He was found yesterday underneath his motorcycle on a lightly traveled road. No foul play is suspected.
Multiple media are reporting that there are several police vehicles at the Floyd County Law Office of Eric Kahn this afternoon. Kahn is the attorney who cut off his ankle monitor after pleading guilty to defrauding the federal government of more than $550 million in a disability scheme. The FBI is offering a $20,000 reward for information leading to Kahn's arrest. The agency tomorrow is holding a news conference regarding the search for the fugitive lawyer.
A Johnson County woman is facing arson charges after allegedly telling police she set her stepson's house on fire because she wanted to. According to WSAZ, 67-year-old Joyce Stambaugh started the blaze, then attempted to stop firefighters as they approached the house. Rex Stambaugh had just moved into the home a few months ago. He says his stepmother was angry her husband left the house to him instead of her.
That's the only thing that I could think of, that she didn't want nobody else to get it. If she couldn't have it, apparently she didn't want nobody to have it. You don't go around setting houses on fire. You just don't do that.
Joyce Stambaugh is housed in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center.
A former Kentucky judge has pleaded not guilty to 6 more charges of human trafficking. The Kentucky Inquirer reports that Judge Elizabeth Chandler declined to reduce 70-year-old Tim Nolan's $750,000 bond, calling him potentially a danger to the community. Nolan has pleaded innocent to a total of 12 counts of human trafficking, including 2 with minors. Nolan was a district judge in Campbell County from 1978 to 1985. Along with the human trafficking charges, he's been charged with rape, unlawful transaction with a minor, and prostitution.
Kentucky's Attorney General is holding off on legal action after an executive order reorganizing several state education boards. The story from KNN's Mike Lindemann.
Andy Beshear on Twitter says Governor Bevin's office has given assurances that the orders will be amended by Friday. Beshear last week threatened to take legal action, arguing the moves were outside the governor's legal authority. The order earlier this month affected 5 state panels. Beshear said the members of the independent boards were removed before the end of their statutory terms. Bevin's said he has absolute authority over state boards. I'm Mike Lindemann.
Brady Industries' aluminum plant in Greenup County should help Kentucky expand its contacts and marketing efforts around the world. That's what Kentucky's Deputy Commissioner for Economic Development told a panel of state lawmakers in Frankfort today. In fact, John Bevington says Brady's top official will be part of a Kentucky trade delegation when it travels to France in a few days.
When we go to Paris next week, CEO Craig Bouchard will be there. He's going to be selling and advocating for the state of Kentucky. He really talks about how he works for us now, and it's his goal to not only build a world-class company that's very profitable, but also to tell the Kentucky story to the world, because they're so pleased to be here.
Bevington testified before the Interim Joint Committee on Economic Development and Workplace Investment. Brady's $1.3 billion aluminum plant is expected to be completed in 2020. The initiative is projected to create about 1,000 temporary construction jobs and more than 500 permanent positions at Brady.
State Senator Stephen Meredith isn't sure that Kentucky's monthly unemployment reports are an accurate barometer of how well the state's economy is performing. The Grayson County Republican is a member of his chamber's Economic Development Committee.
I think we make a big mistake by focusing on unemployment rates, because quite truthfully, I think it's meaningless today. If we really want to move the state forward and develop our economic base, we've got to start focusing on workforce participation rates by county.
Meredith says Kentucky's rural counties lack adequate workforce participation. The Commonwealth's overall economy, he argues, will do better when there are more opportunities for employment at small businesses outside metropolitan areas.
Maysville has finalized its budget for fiscal 2018. According to City Manager Matt Wallingford, the spending plan amounts to just over $21 million, which includes $11.5 million in revenues and $9.5 million in carryover funds. Wallingford says the City Commission on Tuesday also decided to give Maysville's public employees a pay raise.
A 3% raise was approved by the Commission, and that is an average per department. It's extremely important because our budget should not be balanced on the back of our employees.
Wallingford says the Commission has also okayed giving the city's police officers and firefighters hazardous duty retirement pay, which will cost Maysville $45,000 to $50,000 during the next fiscal year and more than $70,000 annually after that. 27 of those first responders will be eligible to receive that compensation.
The Grayson Tourism and Convention Commission has asked a certified public accountant to study the impact of a possible restaurant tax. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Grayson Journal-Enquirer, a proposed restaurant tax was again a hot topic of debate. In an effort for a clearer understanding of what revenue may be generated from restaurant tax, the commission agreed to hire a CPA to generate a more solid estimate. The commission is not the agency responsible for enacting a restaurant tax. That responsibility falls to the Grayson City Council. Council members previously considered and tabled the issue in September 2015. Reporting for Moore's Day Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
The arrival of Ashland's new city manager in 2 months will give the community a chance to move forward in a way it has not been able to for more than a year. So says Ashland Commissioner Amanda Clark. She says the hiring of Michael Grazy will end many months of interim management under Sonny Martin and Steve Corbett.
And that's not a dig on them at all. That's what they're here for. And I think a permanent person can come in here, can exercise their vision, and say this is what we all want for the city of Ashland and own that, instead of just making sure that everything happens, that the train runs on time, essentially.
Grazy comes to Ashland from Alexandria, Virginia. After retiring from the military, he starts his new job August 1st.
Morehead State University has been awarded a grant of nearly $500,000 by the Appalachian Regional Commission. The money will be used to continue the work of the Shaping Our Appalachian Region Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, or SOAR, STEM project. MSU President Dr. Wayne Andrews says the grant will be applied to the project's mission in Martin County.
The whole purpose of the grant is to infuse at their local community center a program that's STEM-related, to try to get young people very, very interested and involved from an early age into the science, technology, engineering, and math disciplines. And we have faculty in the College of Ed that work closely with the folks there at the community center.
The project aims to develop a highly skilled STEM workforce to counteract the loss of jobs in the region caused by the declining coal industry.
A northeastern Kentucky state representative agrees with those who say the state's tax code needs to be simplified and modernized. However, Democrat Rocky Adkins of Moorhead says the key to accomplishing that goal is making certain that there's an element of fairness to any changes made to the system.
We are really concerned about the possibility of corporate taxes and shifting the tax from those most able to pay to those least able to pay. And I know our caucus has had a lot of conversations about that. So a lot of the exemptions that are in place now, I think those need to be looked at.
Governor Bevin has said he'll call for a special session of the General Assembly to deal with updating Kentucky's tax code and plugging the financial leaks in the state's ailing public pension system. The governor has said he'll make that call sometime after August 15th.
Congressman Hal Rogers thinks the national battle with opioid abuse would be more successful if it were fought regionally and involved partnerships with non-government groups. The Somerset Republican says that's the secret behind Unite, the anti-drug organization he created.
It's able to do a lot of things the government can't do, like involve churches, people of faith, law enforcement people from the sheriff's offices to the city police and what have you, and federal and state and local. A highly successful organization only because, I think, it was able to marshal a regional coalition, something much larger than a locality.
And Rogers says the links Unite created between law enforcement agencies has expanded the jurisdictional authority for police to arrest drug traffickers.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet has announced it will be doing some emergency repairs to a road in Elliott County. Spokesman Alan Blair says the cabinet will spend $213,000 to fix some slips that have occurred along Kentucky 409. Also known as Bruin Road.
Part of our rural secondary road aid money, our funding program, we were able to get some funds from that to repair those with by just removing the slip areas and installing some supportive structures to maintain that road and prevent it from slipping.
The work will take place on State Route 409 near mile markers 4 and 5 near the left fork of Ison Creek Road. At this point, Blair says a schedule for the project has not yet been established, but he notes that Bruin Road will likely be closed except for local traffic.
The annual Ohio River sweep will be taking place from 8:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Saturday. Anyone wishing to help volunteer from the Boyd, Greenup, or Lawrence County sites can come and clean up trash along the riverbank and its tributaries. Coordinator Kelly Ward says the sweep is very important.
It's hard to give up your time, especially on a Saturday morning, especially if you have kids, but we encourage them to bring their kids. We get a lot of scout groups, a lot of church groups, various different businesses. They send some staff over, and that's a great thing. I think the people that live along the Ohio River or drive past it on a daily basis, I think that they just kind of take it for granted it's there, but they don't realize how important it is to our region.
The Ohio River sweep is scheduled for this Saturday from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., The Boyd County sites are the riverfront in Ashland and the city park in Catlettsburg. The sites in Greenup County include the riverbank in Russell, the city park in Greenup and Worthington, and the old boat landing in South Shore. The site in Lawrence County is the city pool in Louisa. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area for tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms with lows around 66 degrees. That chance of rain is at 40%. Your Friday, expect cloudy skies early, then becoming partly cloudy, highs around 87. Friday night will be mostly clear with lows around 66. On Saturday, expect intervals of clouds and sunshine with a stray shower or thunderstorm possible. Highs around 91. Saturday night will be partly cloudy with a 50% chance of rain and scattered showers and thunderstorms later at night. Lows around 71. It is currently 86 degrees in Ashland. It's 80 degrees in Flemingsburg, 82 degrees in Inez, 81 degrees in Lexington, 83 degrees in Winchester, and it is currently sitting at 75 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. On our feature story this afternoon, the deer population in Ashland has become a point of concern and some contention in the community in recent weeks. MSPR's Samantha Morrill takes a look.
They're a common sight all across the Bluegrass State, but some people in Ashland have seen enough. The deer population in the city and its residential areas seems to be growing, raising with it the concern that more deer mean more deer ticks and the diseases they carry. Despite the potential dangers of keeping them around, Ashland Commissioner Marty Goot says his constituents are split when it comes to the deer and what, if anything, to do about them.
You have people on both sides. That's a hot topic. I have deer in my yard every day, and they are a nuisance when you're trying to have a successful flower bed or a garden. And it's a hard question, like Commissioner Steen feeds the deer every day. He has a practically a petting zoo up there.
Still others don't find the animals as endearing. Kim Jenkins is a landscaper who has seen the effect more deer are having on the community and has noticed more ticks crawling around this year. She thinks a controlled shoot would take care of the problem.
Just like they have in other cities around the country. They use guns. They bring hunters in and they tell everybody takes cover, shelter's in place, and they get rid of some deer.
Some city council members say that the deer have become an issue but aren't quick to agree to a controlled shoot in the city. Commissioner Amanda Clark says the idea of hunters taking aim in city limits scares her.
I'm not sure any sort of controlled shoot within the city limits is feasible. Just because of how close people are. I think it's too dangerous.
Even controlled shooting in the city does pose some potential for danger, but an overpopulation of deer can also be a threat to the health and safety of residents. Deer ticks carry a number of dangerous diseases, and it's important to take measures to protect yourself from their bite. Luckily, Ashland-Boyd County Health Department epidemiologist Christy Bolin says that while there may be more deer in the region, that hasn't necessarily translated into more cases of tick-borne illness.
I think we've had like less than 5 cases in the FIVECO region each year over the last 5 years. So, you know, we've basically been on baseline. We've not seen this huge outbreak of Lyme disease or Rocky Mountain spotted fever or all the other kind of tick-borne illnesses that are out there.
Bolin says the best way to protect yourself from tick bites is to make it harder for ticks to get to your skin. Wear long sleeves, hats, and pants that are tucked into your socks. You can also wear a spray repellent formulated for ticks. Finally, check yourself and your family for ticks after any outdoor activity. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Samantha Morrill.
4:47, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The NCAA released its sanctions on the University of Louisville's basketball program today for its sex scandal. Louisville will be put on probation for the next 4 seasons, resulting in the loss of 4 scholarships. Head coach Rick Pitino will be suspended for the first 5 games of the conference portion of the 2017-18 season, and the school will be forced to vacate all games in which an ineligible player participated in from 2010 to 2014, resulting in the loss of 108 regular season wins and 15 NCAA tournament wins. Rick Pitino calls the punishment unfair.
You know, for 35-some-odd years, I've had a lot of faith in the NCAA and have reacted that way accordingly as a head basketball coach in the belief in their rules. I feel not like everybody here, not only is it unjust, unfair, over the top severe, but I've lost a lot of faith in the NCAA. This is over the top. It's to the point where it's not even conceivable what I just read.
The school's interim president, Greg Postal, announced that U of L will appeal the NCAA decision, which begins a new 3-month process. Louisville consultant Chuck Smirt did confirm at a press conference that the NCAA has deemed ineligible players did play in the 2013 NCAA tournament and acknowledges that Louisville's 2013 national championship will be vacated unless the ruling is overturned on appeal.